It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Larry Etz. And welcome, everyone. Welcome to Sinner's Sunday, the longest Saturday after party in the known universe, where the beer is cold, the ribs are hot, and all the women are pointy. This is our 18th gathering, and I'm having a ball. So many of you who listen to Tuesday's show from the dojo right across the road there, which, as you know, is guarded 24/7 by Moose the Intimidator. And I had Moose into the vet last week and noticed something on the wall there that inspired this episode, a painting of Noah's Ark. Now, there's a kicking subject that's been ground into pulp by the jaws of Hollywood, biblical scholars, archaeologists, naval architects, meteorologists, damn near everyone with an ist on the end of their profession has an opinion. Some of them seem pretty valid. Some claim to have found the wreckage atop Mount Ararat in Turkey, 16,000 feet up, which would have made that flood more than 3 miles deep. That's a lot of rain. They really love to drill down. Oh, wait, that's a stale cliche. The cliche of the moment is unpack. I'm already sick of that one. I'm kind of hoping the next teleprompter reader who says unpack finds a rattler in his suitcase that drills down deep into his face with its fangs. They love to get into the minutiae of the story, right? How many cubits it measured. A cubit was about 20 inches. And then what kind of wood was it made of? And how many staves? And was the hull lapstraker smooth? And who gives a shit? Does it matter? No. It was a big-ass vessel. Big enough to carry two of every animal on Earth? Can you imagine the stench on that boat? What did it sound like? Did all the beasts cooperate and go to sleep when the sun went down? Did they rotate the cleanup detail among the crew, or was one poor guy and pointed ensign shit shoveler? I like boats, but I'm not so sure I would have shipped out on Noah's floating zoo. Noah's Ark is a cool story, maybe with a basis in fact, but so what? How's that gonna fix what's ailing us? And who among us is without some demon or dragon to slay, huh? We spend all our lives struggling with one damn thing or another, but we never get everything lined up just the way we want it, do we? No matter what it is, we just get little clips of smooth running, right? Short-term periods where we get the train on the rails and we're clacking along pretty good, feels like nothing could go wrong, and then something makes us hit the brakes, and sometimes we get derailed entirely. Kind of reminds me of an old country bluegrass song I used to sing with my band, Life's Railway to Heaven. Wish I had a recording of us doing that song, but those were lost somewhere between New York and L.A. Or was it my metamorphosis from a frontman for the Cadillac Cowboys to a goddamn suit? No matter. Scads of people have covered it. Johnny Cash, Linda Ronstadt, the Statler Brothers, Oak Ridge Boys, Jerry Lee Lewis, Patsy Cline, Willie Nelson. But my favorite is the version by a band called the Amazing Rhythm Aces. I've probably performed that song 500 times. I knew it was old, but not just how old, or that it was written by a woman. A woman with a name of great marquee appeal. Eliza Snow. Isn't that a cool name? Eliza Snow. It was a poem she had written, and years later, some dude put it to music. And it's still being covered even now, a century and a half later. And just for you, my treasured friends, I thought I'd grab the old git fiddle and take a stab at it one more time. Here we go.
Life is like a mountain railway with an engine that's brave. We must make run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the hills and curves and tunnels never fall to never fail. Keep your hand on that throttle, and your eyes on the rail.
Maybe we'll get to more of that later. Ever been on a big ship full of animals with no idea if the water beneath you will recede, praying you can get the hell off it and away from the turds and stench and flies? Me neither. I just cannot relate to Noah's Ark. It's too out there. As we know, shit happens to everyone, and sitting in an ark waiting for dry land seems so passive. Yeah, our powers are limited, but it's better to be a bit proactive than just hanging on. If a transportation metaphor for life is what we need, let's take the train. Everyone's been on a train. I kind of like them. On a train, you can kick back while somebody else does the driving. Have a drink, play cards, stroke your tablet, read, get up, walk around, stare out the window, or take a decent nap. No damn seatbelts. Nobody telling you when you can stand up or take a leak or turn on your cell phone. And best of all, nobody frisking you like a criminal before you get aboard. So if we're looking for a vehicle analogous to life, I can't think of a better conveyance than the iron horse. But maybe not so much the bullet trains and commuter rigs of today, no. How about something a little more retro, say, right around the time Eliza penned her fantastic song? You know, late 1800s or so. First, who's driving that train? I think we know. It's a big dude with a robe and long hair and sandals. And he knows exactly where that train is going, who is aboard, where and what stop will be the last stop for every one of us. He's got a crew, of course, a coal man and a brake man and a conductor, but every so often we passengers have to take our feet off the seats and pitch in. You've seen it in a dozen Western movies. A train makes an unexpected stop when some debris on the track must be removed. And that's when half a dozen assholes come out of the woods with bandanas on their faces. And every able-bodied man and woman on that train is expected to pull their six guns and derringers and blast away at those Antifa dirtbags. That's a little more like life than the floating zoo, isn't it? Because there will never be a shortage of creeps and punks out there who want to derail us. Might be your rise within a corporation or school or maybe a business you're building, and there's always some son of a bitch who wants to take what you've got. Or maybe just destroy it out of sheer envy. The Kumbaya people can never acknowledge that fact until they're being bulldozed into a mass grave. On those early steam trains, they had to stop every 7 to 10 miles to take on water. The railroad companies put up tanks, which is where the term tank town came from. Often it had to be pumped by hand, which took a while, so people would hop off for a bit and stretch their legs. Maybe for the first part of the ride, they were stuck in a car with a bunch of yo-yos. A water stop was a great reason to move your seat and find some company more to your liking. Doesn't that happen to us sometimes? We realize maybe the crew we're running with isn't doing much to enhance our lives. Maybe they're even holding us back. When we catch a time of dormancy, the water stops of our lives, might be a good idea to move around and see if there's someone more compatible and beneficial with whom to share this ride. Of course, there's another comparison for the water stop. You can't make steam without water, and you can't make real progress without spiritual hydration. It's easy to spot those who are absolutely parched for want of it, right? They are utterly consumed with themselves and their things. Things by which they define themselves. Many believe that they are their things. We all know these types. Hollywood is their mecca, and social media is their medium, and they insist we know their life is a red carpet event. Dig my car, dig my house, dig my beach house, dig my ski house, dig my squeeze, dig my wheels, dig my boat, dig my fabulous life. And they are clueless that someday we'll be digging their grave. These people are so spiritually dried out They rustle when they walk like a bag of Fritos. They ride this train of life and never even look out the window to enjoy a sunset or a moonrise. And if they converse with their fellow passengers, they talk at them, not with them. Some never take their faces out of their phones. And oh, how those faces will look when they hear the brake squeal and the conductor says,
"This is the last stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train."
And when they realize they have to leave their things behind, ooh, that won't be pretty. Not that there's anything wrong with things or collecting them. But even if we're not one of those walking Frito bags, we can get so distracted by just living life, we forget to step off at the Tank Town and drink. Not the whiskey or beer, but of those spiritual waters. Because not only do they keep us from thirst, they fortify us. In the geographic and spiritual desert that is Southern California, you see many lawns covered with ice plants of the variety called succulents. People use them as a barrier against brush fires because the things are so full of water they cannot burn. There's a line from Isaiah written a long time before there were trains or tank towns, but it's kind of relevant to our theme here. "Draw water from the wells of salvation. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Eventually, every one of us has to walk through fire. Might be a health crisis, or financial setback, or divorce, or loss of a loved one. When the walking Frito bags meet that fire, they combust and implode and perish, often by their own hands. But those wise enough to know this train ride is a very short journey, and the stuff we collect along the way is ultimately crap, they walk through the flames and are not burned. Those who have been really religious about their spiritual hydration seem to walk through the fires of their lives and not even get singed. I've known only a few people like that, but when you meet them, you know it. They have a bearing and an aura of peace about them that's unmistakable. So as you ride on life's railway, it's probably a good idea to change your seat every so often, meet some new people, admire the views, and drink deeply at every water stop. If you like what you just heard, and you heard it on iTunes, do us a favor and throw us a 5-star review. If you really like what you heard, why not support this very unorthodox ministry at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. It's all the same address, thatlarryshow.com. You'll find a near full archive of episodes at the show's homepage at thatlarryshow.com. Come on back and hang with us this Tuesday for the regular show. We'll be talking to Kim Jong-un's favorite hooker, Ting Ting, whom we first met in episode 39, Doomsday. She'll be giving us some insights into the upcoming summit you won't find anywhere else. We'll also have a look and a listen to these nutty talking scooters that are pissing people off all over the land. Now today, I'll be taking us out with the rest of Life's Railway. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
Well, you cross that bridge of trials, spanning Jordan's southern heights. Just keep Christ as your conductor on this lightning train of life. Always mindful of obstructions, do your duty, never fail. Keep your hand on the throttle and your eyes upon that rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where them angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore, in thy praise forevermore.
all aboard, baby.